Janice Doyle is here once again with what it says in your morning papers.
The death yesterday of Ian Bailey, the Englishman found guilty in France of a murder in Ireland, as the Irish Times headline puts it, is the main story for many papers this morning. The Irish Examiner carries a very large photograph of Mr. Bailey on the front page beside the headline, "Continue Murder Probe, Sophie's Family Urge Gardaí." The Times reports that the French woman Sophie Toscan de Plantier's family were not at all happy at the news of Mr. Bailey's death. First, because a human being has died, her uncle Jean-Pierre Gazot said, but also because we fear the cold case review may now not conclude its work. We cannot now have full justice, he told the Irish Sun. You can't libel the dead, and in the Irish Independent, Senan Maloney writes that he was never in any doubt that Bailey killed Sophie, and he sets out at length his reasons for believing so. Maloney says he was the first reporter to interview Bailey after his release from custody following his initial arrest in 1997. Also in The Independent, Ralph Regal reports that Bailey has always vehemently protested his innocence of the murder. The Irish Daily Star reports that a week ago he said to reporter John Kearns, "If and when I kick the bucket, tell the world I did not kill Sophie Toscan de Plantier." The Irish Daily Mail has what it says are the last known photos of Bailey taken in Bantry. In The Examiner, Mick Clifford writes that he does not know whether or not Ian Bailey was guilty of that horrible, tragic murder on the 23rd of December 1996 in West Cork, but that the case shows how robust our criminal justice system can be. And indeed, Barry Roach reports in The Times that Gardaí have said that a cold case review of the investigation into the murder of Ms. Toscan de Plantier is to continue, despite the death of the chief suspect, Ian Bailey. The Times front page picture by Neil Carson shows people walking away after taking photographs of the waves at Salt Hill, Galway, during Storm Isha, despite warnings about dangerous coastal conditions. The Independent reports that a new energy player has responded to price reductions from larger rivals by announcing a third cut to its electricity tariffs. In what is seen as evidence of a mounting price war, Uno Energy is reducing its fixed rate from today, the paper says. The Times reports that a government-appointed expert group has said that the state could and should do a lot more to allay fears about the arrival of asylum seekers. This would include avoiding last-minute engagement with communities where it is planning new accommodation centres. In a column in The Examiner, Terry Prone offers some advice on planning your funeral. In the heart of winter, things can seem a little bleak, writes Anya Murray on the outdoors pages of The Examiner, but she may cheer us up with her account of the project to plant 100 million native trees on 50,000 mini forests in Ireland over the next 10 years. Among the planters is Father Anthony of Glenstall Abbey, who, she says, has been avidly planting fruit trees in byways and hedges for some years now as future offerings of sweet sustenance for both humans and wild animals. The Times letters page has a number of different viewpoints on the forthcoming referendum on amending Article 41.2 of the Constitution. "I am baffled," writes Anne Harbison of Ockram, County Wicklow, "as to why women's groups and women journalists are not calling on the government to make good on the Constitution's declaration that women who choose to work in the home give to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved." She says they should demand that the government pay women in the home a basic income. Marion Walsh of Dublin 4 writes that Article 41.2 is merely a pious platitude and comprises only wishful thinking. "Can we not have a third option and delete it altogether?" she asks.
John, thank you very much.